You're listening to SBS News.
In Wellington, New Zealand, 62 turbines stand tall at the West Wind Farm site. Operated by Meridian Energy, this particular wind farm produces enough energy to power 73,000 homes in the city's area. The company's general manager for development, Guy Waipera, says it's also become a picturesque tourist destination.
That's a fantastic site. We have 62 turbines. They've been here for a little over 10 years.
A lot of our wind farms are in pretty awesome parts of the country, so we've got a big recreational area. We open it up to the public. It also makes farming a lot easier. They get great tracks and fences and roading and infrastructure, so they are super complementary to lots of other things that are good for people in the community.
The West Wind site is one of five it operates in New Zealand, and Guy Waipera says there are more on the horizon.
Oh, and that's definitely the future. I mean, these things are developing and getting bigger and more efficient. So there's a lot more wind to come in this country, and I think globally wind has got a huge future. And if your alternative is to burn coal, then you know, the trade-off to me is obvious.
It's a trade-off nations around the world are being forced to confront. While renewables are a welcome part of the answer in addressing climate change, New Zealand also wants other nations to stop propping up the fossil fuels industry. Associate Professor Christian Downey from the Australian National University says it's a sign of a shift in momentum.
We're seeing global momentum now to act on climate change, and New Zealand's obviously pushing this issue to phase out fossil fuel subsidies. Traditionally, Australia's position has been that our fossil fuel subsidies aren't inefficient. So at the G20 agreement back a decade ago, Australia, along with a whole range of countries, including China and the US, agreed to phase out what was known as inefficient fossil fuel subsidies.
A decade on, and New Zealand is leading the push, using its position as the chair of this year's APEC summit to call for a pause on fossil fuel subsidies. APEC trade ministers met in early June, agreeing to explore options to undertake a potential voluntary standstill on inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. The country's trade minister is Damien O'Connor.
We have taken action on trade and climate change. There is also a shared focus on reforming fossil fuel subsidies, which are contributing to climate crisis.
Officials have now been tasked to report back to ministers by November. Associate Professor Christian Downey says the global amount spent on fossil fuel subsidies surpasses the trillions of dollars.
Globally, the International Monetary Fund estimates that fossil fuel subsidies, that is taxpayer dollars being spent to subsidise the production and consumption of oil, gas and coal, are in the trillions of dollar figures. So whichever way you look at it, huge amounts of Australian taxpayer dollars are going to support activities that we know are warming the planet and causing the devastating effects of climate change.
Where Australia fits into this is contested by the federal government, which is disputing that it subsidises the industry. The International Monetary Fund estimates Australia spends $29 billion a year to prop up fossil fuel extraction and energy production. But Resources Minister Keith Pitt says Australia's support for the industry is efficient and will continue.
But as Australia's Resources Minister, we stand with the resources sector, we stand with the workforce that is out there doing a wonderful job. Those hardworking men and women in their high-vis gear are the ones who have helped drag our country through in terms of a strong economy in the COVID period and post-COVID. We'll continue to support them.
New Zealand is hoping to further discuss the matter when world leaders meet virtually in November, but it's not even guaranteed whether the contentious proposal will make the agenda. The nation's Foreign Minister Nanaina Mahuta says she is hopeful.
I don't know whether there's the political will, but I do know that APEC is exactly the right forum to be able to have these types of conversations.
For those conversations to happen, the next challenge is achieving international consensus. In Wellington, New Zealand, Pablo Vinales, SBS News.